John chapter 4. Thank God for you being here. Most of all, thank God for the Holy Spirit being here. Amen.
Amen.
If you're here this morning and you're not saved, all this is for you. Amen. If you're not ready to meet the Lord, you can be before this day's over. Amen. John chapter 4, a very familiar scripture. One of my favorite scenes in our Easter play, the woman at the well. Most of us know this story by heart. John chapter 4, I'm going to start reading in verse 3. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
He left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied in his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. And from whence hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? You know, I got to think about, she just didn't know who she was talking to. There's a lot of times we come to church and we don't realize who's here. Amen. Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. Here's where the problem comes in. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou the truth. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. God, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for another opportunity, Lord, to come before you in prayer. God, and I pray right now, Lord, you'd move in this church. God, I pray, God, you'd speak to hearts. God, help me as I try to preach this in a way, Lord, that you would be pleased, God. And God, you touch hearts, God. You touch maybe the Christian here today, God. Lord, it's got some things going on, Lord. And God, maybe there's somebody here today, Lord, that's never been saved. Help them today, God. And whatever's done, help us to lift up Jesus. And we'll praise you for all you do in Jesus' name. Amen. What happens when we meet Jesus?
Amen.
What happens when we meet Jesus? Now, you got to understand something. I was thinking about this. This woman had a confrontation with Jesus. I got to think about the first time I got in church, and when I got saved, I had a confrontation with Jesus. I didn't go to church that day to get saved. I didn't go to church looking for him. Let me go ahead and be honest with you. I didn't go to church wanting to get saved. Y'all know my story. My wife's here. I was going to church just to be with her. That was the only reason I was going to church. So I could be with her, and we would go out on like Friday or Saturday night, and I wanted to see her on Sunday. She went to church, so I went to church to see her. But I'm telling you right now, ain't it amazing how sometimes when you ain't expecting it, you can have a confrontation with Jesus, amen? This woman had a confrontation with Jesus. In verse 16, Jesus said to her, Go call thy husband and come hither. And understand something, when you come in contact with Jesus, when you have a confrontation with Jesus, he already knows everything about you. He already knows everything about you. You're not going to hide anything from him. You can come into God's house. You can sit on that pew, and you can dress in your Sunday go-to-meeting clothes, and you can come in and shake hands with everybody. You can come in and try to fool everybody, but you understand something. Jesus knows everything about you. This woman come up there, took carrying her a water pot. She was just coming to get some water. She didn't realize that she was going to have a confrontation with Jesus. She didn't realize that she was getting ready to come in contact with somebody that knew everything there was to know about her. Amen. Zacchaeus had a confrontation with Jesus. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 19, Zacchaeus stood and said, Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. If I've taken anything by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. When you meet Jesus, when you have a confrontation with Jesus, there will be a change in your life. Amen. If there's never been a change, you ain't really met him. If you can go out and live like you want to, you ain't really met him. If you can go out and drinking and cussing and doing the things of the world, you ain't really met him, amen. You have not come in contact with the one that I come in contact with. The man that was full of demons had a confrontation with Jesus. If you study the Bible gives us several accounts of this. The Bible talks about it in Mark chapter 5, and they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Jesus cleaned this man up. Lord, how many remember when you had a confrontation with Jesus? You didn't leave the same way. Hey, when you left, you got cleaned up. Glory to God. You didn't. Hey, you might have met him with devils in you, but you ain't going to keep the devils in you when you get a hold of Jesus, amen. You might have met him a drunk, but when you left, you wasn't drunk, amen. There's a confrontation. How about the woman caught in adultery? We know what the Bible says in John chapter 8, how they come before Jesus and they have this woman caught in the very act of adultery. And they say, Lord, Moses' law says that when somebody's caught like this, she needs to be stoned to death. And Jesus just kind of got down and wrote into sand a little bit. Looked up and said, hey, let he that is without sin cast the first stone. The Bible says that everybody started dropping their stones, Brother Robert, from the oldest on down, and they left her. Now understand something. How would you like to be that woman caught in the very act of adultery? And when you look up, Skip, everybody's gone, but you're looking in the face of Jesus. Amen. See, things get different. When you look in the face of Jesus, you can come to church and you can go through the motions. You can come to church and everything just be all. But I'm telling you right now, when you come face to face with Jesus, things are different. See, a lot of times if we ain't careful, Jonathan, we'll come face to face with Jesus. And let me tell you something. If anybody had the authority to stone this woman, Jesus did. He wrote the law. Glory to God. He was the law. He is the word. If anybody had the authority to kill her, he had the authority. But Jesus said, hey, neither do I condemn thee. If you're here this morning, and you've never had a confrontation with Jesus like I'm talking about, don't you worry about what you did last night. Don't you worry about what's in your past. I'm telling you, I got a God that loves you. He'll tell you, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. He wants to save you. He loves you. He wants you. He knew you were going to be here this morning. Do you think it caught Jesus by surprise when he walked by that tree and looked up and saw Zacchaeus? He knew he was going to be there. Folks, I'm telling you, when you have a confrontation with Jesus, things change. The woman at the well, Jesus made her have a confrontation with her sin. Think about that. The Bible tells us, Jesus told her, go and get your husband. Now, she could have just said, well, I ain't got no husband, and I don't want to talk to you no more. And turn around and left. But she didn't. She said, Lord, I don't have a husband. And Jesus made her confront her own sin right there. You understand something? If you're ever going to get help, if you're ever going to get saved, you're going to have to confront your own sin. She said, Lord, I don't have a husband. Jesus said, you're right. You've had five, and the one you with now ain't your husband. How many remember when you came in contact with Jesus? Amen. How many remember when you came in contact with Jesus, you had to go ahead and confront your own sin? Hey, the Bible tells us you can't be saved unless you realize that you're a sinner. You got to realize. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. Amen. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. Every last one of us is going to have to come to a confrontation. We got to realize that I am an awful, awful sinner, and he is an awesome, awesome Savior. Amen. You sit here smelling good, looking good on Sunday morning and bust hell wide open. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, if you'll ever come in contact with Jesus, you're going to have to confront your sin. Luke chapter 19, verse 8, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, on half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any by false accusation, I restore them fourfold. Zacchaeus realized that he had cheated people out of their money. He realized he had to give it back to them. The man possessed knew that he was possessed by Satan, but there was nothing that he could do about it. But glory to God, there was somebody that stepped on off that boat on that day in those tombs and said, I'm here to help you. When I got saved, I couldn't do nothing about it. I'm telling you, I was lost. I was undone. I was on my way to hell. And there was nothing I could do to remedy that situation, Brother Robert. But glory to God, I called out on a man named Jesus. And he saved my soul, wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He can do what you can't do. But you got to confront your sin. You're going to have to tell him. That's why I try to tell people, you know, and we got some folks in this church that's real good about coming down to the altar and praying for people. Let me tell you something. When you start confessing your sin, you ain't got to do it to me. I ain't the one that can forgive you. His name is Jesus. They had to confront their sin. Go back to the woman caught in adultery when she looked up at Jesus. Jesus already knew. Jesus already knew. He already knows everything about you. He already knows your sin. He already knows what you did last night, what you did last week, what you've done in your past. He already knows and wants to forgive you anyhow. Amen. Praise God. Yeah. You got to confront that sin. Let me ask you a question. How do you feel right now knowing that Jesus already knows everything about you? How about it, Christian? How do you feel right now already knowing that Jesus knows everything about you? Every thought, every word, every deed. Now see, if we're saved, that ought to convict us. But if you're lost, that really ought to convict you. Because Jessica, I look at Tony and I look at Skip and they sit up on the front row. I know Skip's a Christian. I know Tony's a Christian. I know we're saved. I realize and I know that between us three, we got three different sins. That's right. We all mess up.
Absolutely.
We all mess up.
We do.
That's why you see me on the altar a lot in this church. Because Jeff, I mess up. And I know Jesus already knows everything about me. That's why I come down. The Bible says, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's why I come on this altar. I heard David Jeremiah just a few weeks ago. He was talking about somebody had once said, this is a little illustration of how we get to heaven as a Christian. We fall down, we get up. We fall down, we get up. We fall down, we get up all the way to heaven. But if you're not saved, you fall down, you stay there until you go to hell. You got to confront your sin. And the good news is that Jesus wants to forgive you. But the bad news is that not everybody who meets Jesus gets forgiveness. Let me give you some Bible illustrations. There was a man named Judas that walked with Jesus every day, that talked with Jesus every day, that sat down and ate with Jesus. At night, they would all be gathered around a campfire. He was there with Jesus, and he betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And Jesus gave him opportunity after opportunity to get things right, and he didn't. And he went to hell. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 19 of a rich young man that came to Jesus, and he said, "Lord, what must I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus said, "You need to do this, this, and this." And it was all in the law. He said, "Lord, I've done that since my youth. I've come to church. I paid my tithes. I did all that since my youth." Jesus said, "Go sell what you got and give to the poor. Come and follow me." "Oh, well, I can't do that." And the Bible says he left grieved. He came in contact with Jesus. He came in contact. He had to confront his sin. His sin was either greed or pride. He had to confront. And Jesus made him confront his sin. And he said, "No." How about it this morning? Will you be forgiven? Will you turn it over to him? As I was studying this and thinking about this and praying about this, my mind went back to an old sermon from years ago. An old preacher, and if you'd like to look this up on YouTube, you can. A preacher named J. Harold Smith. He preached a message years ago called God's Three Deadlines. God's Three Deadlines. This old preacher started off, he said, when you cross these deadlines, there's no coming back. The first one he talked about was blaspheming the Holy Ghost. He said, when you do that, and the Bible gives us scripture about this, Matthew chapter 12, Luke chapter 12, Numbers chapter 16. He said, when you do that, there's no coming back. There's no forgiveness of that. That's what the Bible teaches, amen. The second one was sinning past your day of grace. The Bible talks about that, Proverbs chapter 29, verse 1. He said, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck and shall be destroyed, and that without remedy. In other words, when you come to God's house and God, the Holy Spirit is convicting you, the Holy Spirit is dealing with you, and you know you need to go to that altar, and you know you need, God, you've already confronted your sin. You know you got it there, and Jesus is telling you, "I love you, and I want to forgive you," but you sit there in that seat, and you say no, and you say no, and you say no, and you walk out of those doors, and you come back and you walk out of those doors and you say no, I'm telling you right now, there is a line that God will draw in the sand, and when you cross that line, there's no coming back. Amen. He that being often reproved and hardens his neck, or that means get stubborn, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Sinning past your day of grace. And the last one he talked about was the sin unto death. 1 John chapter 5, verse 16. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life. For them that sin not unto death, there is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pay for it. Let me go ahead and tell you something, folks. There's Christians today. Now you understand what I'm... Let me read the scripture to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as it is not so much named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And you are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, he that hath done this deed might be taken away from you. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that hath done this deed, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together in my spirit, and the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are Christians that have died, and God took them out, because they wouldn't give up little pet sins and they wouldn't give up things that they were doing. That's Bible. Folks, let me tell you something. When you come in contact with Jesus, it's a serious thing. We're sitting here this morning, just like one of the preachers said yesterday. I mean, I and Brother Melvin told me this in the vestibule before service started. He said, "Man, that last message yesterday on shouting," he said, "you could have really preached that." I said, "Oh yeah, I'm working on one now." I love shouting. I love coming into God's house and praising the Lord and raising hands. I tell you right now, if you miss last Wednesday night, you missed a blessing. Couple weeks ago, preached on angels. My Lord, we had a time. Sometimes you come to God's house, and you got to preach what the Lord tells you to preach. Whether people like it or not, Tony. Whether they amen me or not. Sometimes you got to realize there's got to be a confrontation with Jesus. And that's today. You see, everybody in this building right now is going to make a choice this morning. Every last one of us is going to make a choice. Some are going to choose to come down to this altar and just make sure everything's all right. Some might choose this morning to come down to this altar and get saved. Some might choose, Ronnie, to get up and walk out of this building and not be right with God. What if it's your last time? What if this would be your last opportunity, like when you sin past your day of grace? I'm not saying it is. Now, don't you leave and say that preacher said, this is my last opportunity. I'm not saying that. I don't know. I ain't God. I'm not the one that makes that call. The Lord is. Can you sing, "Please Forgive Me"? Please forgive me, Riley. I want you to bow your heads with me. I feel like the Lord's telling me I'm done. If you're here tonight, if you're here this morning, you know your heart. And you can believe one thing, Jesus knows your heart. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 17:11, an evil man seeketh only rebellion, therefore a cruel messenger shall be sent against him. You don't have to leave the same way you are right now.